Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and thank you for listening. Please look around the site. We've got over 3,500 audios featuring great preachers, persecution stories from North Korea and other lands, Bible studies. You can find my books at Amazon.com. You can contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. Please also check out my new website that allows you to tune into the new Hackberry Radio. Just go to HackberryHouseOfChosun.com and take a look and a listen. Today we're finishing up the Free Grace Broadcaster of Summer 2023. And this quarter, we're talking about the precious blood of Christ. There's a different theme every quarter. This little quarterly can be sent to your home free of charge. I'll tell you about that more in just a minute. The value of Christ's blood is the subject, the name, the title of this particular entry by Octavius Winslow. Octavius Winslow was the Baptist pastor, and he was a prolific author. Lived from 1808 to 1878, born in England. And here's his ideas about the value of Christ's blood. It would seem impossible by any illustration or argument to overestimate the intrinsic value of Christ's atoning blood. There are some things in religion of which we may entertain a too exalted and exaggerated conception. For example, we may have too high a view of the Church of Christ, calling it to be exalted above Christ himself. We may hold too exaggerated and too exclusive views of church ordinances, displacing and magnifying them, substituting their observance for vital religion, for a change of heart, for faith in Christ, exclusively for justification. But no such danger lies in our study of the blood of Christ. Here our views cannot be too high. Our contemplation cannot be too profound, our hearts too loving and adoring. Consider for a moment, beloved, the ends that were accomplished by the shedding of Christ's blood. We often estimate the value of a means by the end it secures. The atonement of Christ was to meet the claims of God's moral government. By man's sin, its holiness had been invaded, its authority contemned, its sanctions, laws, and commands outraged. Over all its glory, a cloud had passed. God's eternal purpose was to save man, but he could save him only by an expedient that would remove that cloud and cause the glory that it shaded to shine forth with deeper and more resplendent luster. The expedient that would thus meet the claims of the divine government must be divine. The atonement that would link justice with mercy and holiness with love in the salvation of the church must be infinite in its character and priceless in its worth. Such, in a few words, were the two grand ends to be secured and which were secured by the offering up of the Lord Jesus Christ. Viewed only in this light, how precious does the blood of Christ appear! Blood that could harmonize the divine attributes, uphold the righteousness of the divine government, making it honorable and glorious in God to save sinful man, must be precious. It is precious blood because it is virtually the blood of God. This is a strong but scriptural expression. Paul, in his parting address to the Ephesian elders, employs it. The church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. This it is which stamps the atoning blood of the Savior with such dignity and virtue. It is the blood of Jehovah Jesus. It possesses all the worth and glory of the Godhead, all the divine virtue and efficacy of the Deity. From this it derived its power to satisfy, its virtue to atone, its efficacy to cleanse. And this is the reason one drop of this precious blood falling upon a sin-burdened conscience in a moment dissolves the weighty load and fills the soul with joy and peace in believing. And this is why there exists not a stain of human guilt that the atoning blood of Emmanuel cannot utterly and forever efface. Why, in a word, it is blood that cleanses all from sin. But it follows that it is the blood of a pure and sinless humanity, and this by no means lessens our idea of its preciousness. A deep mystery, we admit, is the incarnation of God. But mystery confronts us everywhere and in everything. Therefore, it would be unphilosophical, as unbelieving, to cavil at this fundamental doctrine of Christianity, the profoundest mystery in the universe, because it transcended, though it does not contradict, human reason. Our humanity is the incarnation of a spiritual nature. We are not one, but three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And yet we do not deny our own being. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this great sight, not to reason, but believe, not to fathom, but adore. How great the folly of man in his endeavor to sound the depths of God's infinity. Here, then, exists an essential element of preciousness in Christ's blood. It flowed from arteries untouched, untainted by the virus of sin, from a humanity upon which not a breath of pollution had fallen. He knew no sin. Begotten by the Holy Spirit, he was that holy thing born of a virgin, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He came into the world, lived in it, died in it, and left it as pure and immaculate as the deity that he enshrined. His Godhead wore not the tainted fleece, was clad not in the leprous garment of our fallen, apostate, and sinful nature. A holy Savior offered up a sinless atonement for unholy, sinful man. Hence the preciousness of his blood. Look at it, beloved, in this sight, and let your hearts glow with love, adoration, and praise as you kneel before the cross and feel the distilling upon your conscience of that blood that pardons, covers, cancels all your guilt. From this view of the essential preciousness of Christ's blood, let us consider its preciousness to God. We have referred to the law of the Levitical dispensation relating to blood. The minute directions that God gave concerning it marked the sacredness and significance of blood in his holy eyes. Can we for a moment suppose that the blood of the atonement offered upon the cross of Calvary should not be of yet more infinite worth and preciousness to God? Beloved, we believe that of all the great truths upon which we are expatiating, we shall find in the hour of death this to be the most essential, supporting and comforting, the preciousness and acceptableness to God of that divine sacrifice for sin upon which, in that dreadful moment, we are relying. To know then that God is well pleased with that blood upon which, as a poor, guilty sinner, about to appear in eternity, we rest, and that in its acceptance we are accepted. By its virtue we are washed whiter than snow, and that through its merit we shall appear before God in righteousness. Surely with this truth witnessed to us by the Holy Spirit in our souls, death will have no sting, and the grave no terror. The atoning blood of Christ must be precious to the Father because it is the blood of his own Son. There was an essential, close and endearing relation between the victim and the offerer. Is the blood of a child precious to the heart of a parent? Thus precious was the blood of Jesus to God. Oh, methinks, if ever God loved his Son, he loved him then. Gazing from his throne in glory upon the dreadful scene on earth, he saw the Son who dwelled in his bosom from eternity, crucified upon the accursed tree, suffering the just for the unjust, vindicating the moral rightness of his government, and pouring out his holy soul unto death, that he might bring us to God. But there was not only the yearning of parental affection in God, but in the sacrifice of his beloved Son, he beheld the salvation of his church, fully and forever secured. In that vital stream he saw the life, the spiritual and eternal life of his people. His everlasting love had found a fit and appropriate channel through which it could flow to the vilest sinner. And when God raised his Son from the grave, exalted him to glory, set him at his own right hand, and then sent down the Holy Spirit, The seal of his acceptance was affixed to his own deep sense of the preciousness of Christ's blood. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Trembling soul, approach this atonement. God has accepted it, will you? Surely you may with confidence and hope rely upon that sacrifice with which he has thus declared himself well pleased. You cannot come to it too hopefully, nor rely upon it too implicitly, nor believe in it too simply, nor rejoice in it too fervently. It is precious to God, and in virtue of its preciousness, your person is precious, your prayers are precious, your offerings of love are precious, fragrant to him as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Plead but the precious blood of Christ for renewed forgiveness. Urge it as your argument in prayer, and draw from it your motive to self-surrender as a holy, living sacrifice to God, and you shall not fail of acceptance with the Holy One. Amen. From Octavius Winslow, from The Precious Things of God, name of a book, in 1867. It's in the public domain. Thank you again for being here. To have the Free Grace broadcaster sent to you free every 3 months, just send them an email, chapel@mountzion.org. That's chapel@mountzion.org. And just ask for it. Ask for a little list or catalog of the things that they have. Actually, there's a list in the book itself, the little booklet, but I think they have even more. Ask them what they have. Most of what they have is free, if not all, and it will bless you. So check them out. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.